Next on BYUSN, still no word on who BYU's starting quarterback will be for week one, so we'll discuss what our drop-dead deadline is for naming QB1. Plus, we'll discuss which players on BYU's roster are the most underappreciated right now.
We'll get fall camp updates from two of the guys with big expectations, both coming off big injuries, running back Hinkley Rapati and safety Micah Harper. And this week's Top 5 Tuesday features the most underappreciated quarterbacks in BYU history. You think of your list, we'll come back with ours, the underappreciated BYU quarterbacks.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today is August 13th. It is a Tuesday. My name is Jason Shepherd. He is alternate mascot consultant Dave McCann.
Thank you. It's good to be here. We've been buzzing. It's an out-of-world experience in dealing with this mascot situation out of Flagstaff, Arizona. Here's what Northern Arizona University is going to do. They've come up with an alternate identity for six sporting events this season. So instead of Lumberjacks, they're going with Astrojacks. They're looking to cash in on the lunar legacy of Flagstaff. For example, in 2001, Flagstaff was named the world's first international dark city. Dark sky city, which means there's no lights, you can see all the stars. By the way, that's the same year Luke Staley was up here winning the Doak Walker. But
this is not a shot at Flagstaff.
No,
I
really
was not,
not
aware that it had this lunar legacy.
But we thought what challenge they must have gone through to come up with the Astrojacks.
Yes.
Because people eat cereal, they could have gone with Applejacks. They eat pancakes, could have gone with
Flapjacks. Flapjacks.
There's two Jacks pizza over there in Spanish Fork. I don't know if they have one down there, but there's that Jacks. But they've gone with Astro Jacks. So we got us thinking, well, what would be a good alternative to BYU's current
This one was fun for me, and it came so quickly.
Yes, it did.
Because, look, what would you say, and I'm not saying it's 100% accurate here, but by and large, the favorite logo of BYU fans tends to be the Sailor Coug, right?
Yeah.
So let's take the Coug part out of that and go with the Sailors.
So if you're going to go Sailor.
Sailors, like Popeye. We got like this like, you know.
You put Popeye on the helmet and call it.
I'm just saying, like, we love the Sailor Coug logo. Why don't we call ourselves for this alternate identity the BYU Sailors?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, Popeye with the bicep and. You know,
people,
no
people
pipe. You need to take the pipe out.
Yeah, that's true. It'd be a non-smoking Popeye, especially on campus. But I'd go with the, you got the stretch Y.
Yeah.
I'd go with the stretch, I'd change it to the U, go with the stretch U. And then you take Miami and Utah's claim to being the U and just call yourself the real U, put it in blue, and make a lot of green, because that's why the Astrojacks are here. It's how can we make more money?
Yeah.
Let's just change some of the stuff we do and sell some shirts.
It's merch.
We've done that before. I'm wearing a black BYU shirt with royal trim. Things can happen.
Yes, it's all about the merch, Dave.
The Astrojacks. Look for the Astrojacks coming this fall.
All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
He's a guy that nobody's even talking about right now.
He has been largely off the radar. But again, we'll work his way back in.
I feel good about where our team is at. It's a good depth and some good playmakers. So I think all the quarterbacks have gotten better. When we get there and ready to announce something, then we'll do that.
All right, when it comes to BYU football, and let's be honest, Dave, it's not just this year, it's every year.
Sure.
The number one question is, well, who's going to be the quarterback? Well, we're still waiting to find out that question, who's going to take the field as the QB1 against the Salukis on October 31st. Yesterday, after practice, Kalani Sitake spoke to the media about the timeline for naming a starter.
I know you guys asked about the quarterback competition. It's starting to form, but we'll when we get there and ready to announce something, then we'll do that. But right now, I'm really happy with the way the two guys are competing and looking forward to see them progress.
By the way, did I say October 31st for the game?
If you did, you meant August
31st. I meant August 31st.
Right.
We certainly do not want to have to wait two extra months to play football. So that was Kalani on the QB battle. Now let's hear from offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick, who also spoke to the media after practice. And he was asked if he had a deadline for naming a starter. And this is what he had to say.
When Zach and Jeremy were here, we made the decision like 3 days before the first game. and then both those guys ended up being pretty good. So I would like it to be sooner than that, but we're not. There's no deadline.
Okay, so you hear from A-Rod, no deadline. You hear from Kalani, not naming a starter as of yet. For you, Dave McCann, what is your drop-dead deadline for BYU to name a starting quarterback? Do you have one in mind?
Well, listening to Aaron and talking about Zach and Jaron, they didn't announce until just a few days before, but everyone knew. And I get the feeling that that's going to be the scenario here. No matter when they do announce, the team will have known for a long time if they don't know already. There was a media available yesterday. We kind of had the feeling that they might do it yesterday.
There was this feeling that maybe it would happen yesterday.
Kalani and Aaron were both scheduled to speak, and then they would be the two that would talk about it. The next media availability is until Friday, so I'm going to circle Friday. And I have a feeling they probably already know already. There is no rush to make it public. Why do they care? You know, it's not going to sell more tickets. August 31st is still 19 days away. It's not going to get here any faster. But I think Friday now you're midway through camp, past the midway point. You're going to deal with the media again going into the weekend. I would think Friday would be the day that they announce.
Yeah, for me, and look, at the end of the day, I would imagine if they don't know 100%, they certainly know where they're leaning on the quarterback. And all of this is us as fans, media members, whatever the case may be, it's just, we just want to know. It's that's more about us than it is about them needing to name a starter. Like you said, it doesn't matter what they do publicly, as long as everybody on that practice field and in the buildings know. And I think we would all, I would be shocked if they don't already have a pretty good idea how this is going to go in terms of how some of the reps are going. They have a pretty good idea. The naming it publicly, it really does them no good to name it publicly. Why would you give an opponent, even if it's Southern Illinois, why would you give an opponent any idea of where you're going with your quarterback position? It's the most important position. Why would you give them 3 weeks to be able to look up film on, make them do the work and looking at both guys and what they could possibly do? Yeah, we all want to know, but this to me, I'm kind of like with you. I'm not going to be surprised if we don't hear it until game week.
Yeah, and that's quite possible, and that's just around the corner. But they do need time to galvanize behind the one.
Yes.
And they would know that in practice. And Max Hall talked about that too. You can have your competition, but midway through, you go to the one because that's the guy you're going to battle with. And now you know you have a legitimate backup. And I think BYU's in a situation where they've got a good number two.
Yeah.
Whoever it is, whether it's Bohannon or Retzlaff. But the number one has to spend the rest of the camp knowing that he's the number one, and the rest of the team needs to know that's our guy, that's our leader, that's who we're going to battle with on August 31st. And so let's just focus on executing our plan with this guy.
Don't you think it's possibly more important for the rest of the team to know who the guy is than even the guy? Because, I mean, they have a pretty good idea, and they're going to be able to step in regardless. I agree with you 100% that the rest of the offense being able to know that's the guy and sort of rally around him, I think that's even more important than the actual person knowing if they're the guy or not.
When you're in the back seat of the car, what you really want to know is whoever's driving knows where they're going and they're going to take you there. And then you think about other stuff. But until you get to that conclusion, you're just in the back seat hanging on. And I think that announcing a starter takes care of all those things and give them a few more days. And then they do it, and then they move forward.
Yeah, it's gamesmanship. You don't want to you don't want to tip your hand on anything. Why do you think and this is not just a BYU thing. Quite frankly, BYU has more open practices, or at least more availability to see a portion of practice than Utah. It's my understanding you can't see anything at the University of Utah for practice.
Now, we're very fortunate to get what we get. We all want more.
Right.
But at least we get this. We can get in there and see that, you know what? Gary Bohannon is 100% healthy.
Right.
He can throw the football. We don't need to take his word for it or Aaron Roderick's. We've seen it. You can either do it or you can't.
Yeah.
And we've been in there enough to go, you know what? He can do that. Yeah. So that's not an issue. Let's move on to the next thing. And so, But I think this week, I think this week, next week, you're starting to go, hey, the war drums are starting to beat for opening night.
Yeah, but I think they know already. I think they know, and whether they say it publicly or not, I don't think it changes what happens in terms of the preparation.
Right.
This is just a selfish thing for all of us that we just want to know it because we're impatient.
And they hate being asked about it. Yes. So at some point, you reach your limit.
Fine, yes, I will tell you.
Jason Shepherd is our quarterback. Next question.
Oh, boy. Never. You know, that four wins, that may be difficult to reach with me under center.
You're right. All right, our next question for today. Every year we got a few players that don't get talked about as much by the outside world, outside of practice, heading into a season, but they could have a significant impact on how things go. So we're going to call them today the underappreciated. Underappreciated by Cougar Nation, not necessarily by their own teammates. The guys that are flying way under the radar. This team's under the radar, and that's where Kalani likes it to be right now. But so our question here is, who do you think are BYU's most underappreciated players? We're going to ask offense and defense, and let's start with offense. Who's your guy under the radar?
For me, and this wouldn't have been the case a couple of seasons ago, but for me, I'm going with Cody Epps. And we certainly know the type of talent that Cody is and what he brings to the field. Unfortunately, he has just dealt with some bad luck with injuries and has not been able to be on the field as consistently as he would hope, certainly that BYU would hope. And I think because of that, sometimes he sort of gets lost when you talk about all of the weapons that whoever the quarterback is going to be will have. And so for me, I don't think enough people are talking about the skill set that Cody Epps has and what he will bring to the field, and certainly the hope with him is that he can stay healthy and be able to provide that lift every game.
I think if we could see the Cody Epps that lit up Notre Dame and Arkansas when healthy, and his attitude and all, there's just everything that's right about a person's right about Cody Epps.
Yes.
And I think we want to see him be able to get back to that where he's catching a pass in the slot and just gone. But you're right, his health has kept him from doing that. And that's kept him a little bit under the radar. When you think of these receivers, you think Chase Roberts and Keanu Hill, you think of Cody Epps, Darius Lassiter, a new guy. My guy flying under the radar is the most underappreciated, as we'll define it today, is Keelan Marion, also in that group, also in his second year in the offense after transferring from UConn. He didn't catch a lot of balls last year. His three touchdowns were all on the jet sweeps. So he had three rushing touchdowns last year. He had a kickoff return for a touchdown that was called back, which was unfortunate. But this guy on special teams and in the receiving corps, I think he has got a chance to be a game changer this year. And like Cody Epps, you spend 5 minutes with this guy, and he makes you feel better about yourself. He's got a great attitude, and he has told us, he goes, hey, I'm coming. This is my season. He understands the playbook, which is so key for transfers. You're out there on the edge, and all of a sudden, they change the play call. And you look over to Darius, you go, hey, what's the call? And Darius doesn't know. He looks over to Chase because Darius is new, too. That's what they had going on out there last year. And that's what you get with all of a sudden, you've got a whole bunch of new guys and a brand new playbook. Well, both Darius and Keelan will be the first to tell you, they understand the playbook like the back of their hand this year. And that gives them freedom. That gives them freedom to improvise when they're out there. I think Keelan Marion is going to come in as a big-time game changer to where we'll go, you know what, that's a big room of receivers. I didn't think about Keelan Marion.
Right.
Remember this day, as we talked about.
They have a lot of weapons in that receiver room. And if everyone can be on the field like they need to be, you're going to have a hard time defending everybody. Somebody is going to have an opportunity to make a play, and we've seen each one of them have the ability to make some pretty miraculous catches, and it could certainly be a major weapon for this offense.
Why is it every one of our conversations come back to the offensive line?
Well, yeah, no, seriously.
Give them some time, let these guys do stuff. All right, who's your most underappreciated on the defensive side of the ball?
This one was easy for me. I went Jacob Robinson right out of the gate. I mean, last year he was second on the team in interceptions, one shy of what Eddie Heckard had. So he comes back as your leading interception guy from last year's team. I just, you hear the phrase ball hawk, and that's just what I think of when I think of Robinson. He is always there, whether it's an interception, whether it's a pass breakup, he's got his nose in every play. And we had this conversation when the Big 12 preseason team came out, and Tyler Batty was the only representative for BYU. And I think it was Spencer and I, we had the conversation, who that's not on the list would you not be surprised to see on the list at the end of the year when the postseason awards? And Jacob Robinson was my guy. I expect him to have a big, big year.
Love his attitude. I've got a story about him in the Deseret News today, shameless plug. But the more you get to know him and the more time you're around him, you're right. This is a big-time player with an NFL career 100%. Ahead of him. Now, he's got to go show it again this year, but he's on track to do that. And he's a lot of fun. So number zero out there, fantastic defensive player.
And Jacob with a K. It adds a little bit of
Jacob
an edge.
Jacob with a K. Separates him from the Jacobs with a C.
There we go.
I'm going to go with Harrison Taggart. Middle linebacker. It's like, who? Harrison Taggart? Ben Bywater's your middle linebacker. Not anymore. You know, Bywater's out. Taggart, the transfer from Oregon, played quite a bit last year. He's the middle linebacker. He's going to have the helmet that Jay Hill's talking to in between plays as to getting the formations in. So he's the leader out there. Then it's his job to turn around and make sure everyone knows what they're doing. Hey, guys, we're blitzing today. Everyone's blitzing on this next play. I like his athletic ability. I like his attitude. He's a leader, and he has to be. But when we think of who are the linebackers, Harrison Taggart, middle linebacker, under the radar, needs to have a really big, big season and capable of it. But yeah, when you see him doing whatever to his helmet or whatever, Jay Hill's talking to him, sending in the play, just like the quarterback. He's a quarterback on the defense and gets the calls.
All right. Well, you've heard from Dave and I and our most underappreciated BYU players. So now we're asking you, and that is our question of the day. Who is the most underappreciated BYU football player on this year's team? First response comes from Russ Melrose on X. He said, Miles Davis. LJ is the guy, but Miles is very underrated. 2 years ago, Miles averaged 5.6 yards per carry, second amongst running backs to Chris Brooks. LJ and Hinkley get all the props, but watch out for Miles this year.
He's onto something. Miles told me he is as healthy today as he's been since he went for 131 against Wyoming 2 years ago. Been nicked and bruised up in between. Full health today. Bigger, faster, stronger. Watch for
Miles.
Saw
him yesterday at practice. Yeah. Looks very, very fit.
So that's a good pick. How about Brandon Palmer on X? The D linemen and edge rushers not named Tyler Batty. Guys like John Nelson, Isaiah Banya, going to make an impact this season. You got Mangelson in there too. That group up front's going to have a lot of pressure on them because that's what we're going to watch. Can you get pressure on the quarterback? Yep. Can you stop the run? Two things that they struggled with last year. And you're right. Batty gets a lot of the attention, well-deserved, first team all preseason. But John Nelson and Banya and those guys, they're coming. And they got a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, we had a couple of guys on our list of honorable mentions, and John Nelson was certainly one of them.
Darius Laster, another one.
There we go. All right, you can continue to weigh in on our question of the day by using the hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Football tonight on After Further Review, Blaine Fowler, David Nixon, and I break down some of the impact players the Cougars will be counting on as early as 2 weeks from Saturday. Join us tonight, 7 Eastern, on the BYU TV app.
Up next, I go one-on-one with running back Hinkley Ropati about the growth of the offense and increase in accountability and just how much he can squat. Oh, yeah, we go there. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Camp MVP is going to be Hinkley Ropati. His ability to move quickly and make people miss is probably the best of any of the running backs on the team. We just saw the flashes of brilliance down the stretch that Hinkley Ropati can bring.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play alongside Dave McCann. My name is Jason Shepherd. And yes, Hinkley Ropati, we all remember the game against Boise State. Unfortunately for him, he has dealt with injuries, did not get a chance to play last year, but he is healthy and ready to go this season. I was able to talk with him yesterday after practice, and health, just one of the things that we discussed. Here's Hinkley Ropati after practice yesterday.
Hinkley, I want to start with a question that I believe every BYU fan is dying to know. How much can you squat?
How much can I squat? Ah, man, I don't know. I don't know how much I can. Probably rough estimate, maybe closer to 600.
600. Wow. See, I assume the answer with those legs was going to be all of it.
No. I wish, man. We got some really strong guys. Other guys that are super strong on the team, man.
Well, it's, you know, from one leg guy to another, and clearly that's a joke. How's camp been going? I mean, getting sort of to the dog days, I would imagine, ready for a game to be here. But all in all, how have things gone?
Oh, it's going great. I think we're firing on all cylinders right now. The biggest thing that Coach been preaching on is just discipline and execution. I think we're on our way right now to doing that really well. And yeah, camp's been going really good. I mean, I'm having a world of a time just being back out here, you know, running around, playing ball again. It's a dream come true. So I'm enjoying it, soaking it all in.
How much does that affect things? Just the fact that, you know, it's you're healthy and you're getting opportunities, and just I would imagine from a mental standpoint, it's just night and day.
Oh yeah, it's a huge. Like, you know, obviously going through the injuries and all that, you know, and be able to be back on the field. I mean, it's a huge for me. It's a huge opportunity. I mean, I love being out here, being back with the boys again, and just, you know, playing ball. You know, being back. I mean, I feel like we went through the whole summer, off season, just working out. And now we can just play football. And I think you mentioned earlier, I think everybody's just trying to get to game one now. We're just excited to start playing. So,
what excites you most about this upcoming season? There's so many things that you can look forward to, but for you personally, what are you looking forward to the most?
I think personally just being back out there with the boys. That's been my biggest thing. You know, I enjoy being around these wonderful young men and being able to, you know, come together to achieve one goal. I think that's something that's huge. And so being able to be part of that again, it means a lot to me. And so personally, I just look forward to making plays and having fun, man, along the way and going far, man. We're aiming for the top, so we're excited.
You talked about this a second ago, but there was an interview, and I think Spencer was the one that did the interview with Coach Roderick, and he was talking about how this year there's so much more accountability. And you talked about guys being sort of, you know, dedicated and digging in. Have you noticed that as well, that everybody's taking accountability for themselves and for the team? How much has that helped, do you think?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, it's huge. I think that's the biggest thing that our strength coaches were preaching to us and Coach Kalani throughout the whole offseason is just the, you know, the importance of accountability and making sure that we hold each other accountable, even for the littlest things. And I think that's what's making the biggest difference, in my opinion, from this fall camp to last year fall camp. It's just you can feel the sense of urgency and the sense of accountability, not just from the coaches' standpoint with the players, but just the players amongst each other. And I think that's really awesome.
Overall, how has the offense progressed since the start of camp?
Oh, great. I think we're right on track. I mean, you know, obviously the young guys, we're trying to get them up to speed and so forth. But I think we did a good job again of this offseason of just making sure everybody knew what they were doing. So that when we came fall camp, everybody's just playing at a high level and being able to just go out there and not having to think of what they have to do. And I think that's the biggest thing. You're going to see players that it was their first time in the offense last year. That's just not the case this year. You know what I mean? I think everybody has experience. Everybody knows the playbook. And I think that's what's going to be a huge difference for us.
Regardless of how the quarterback battle plays out, what have you seen from that position in terms of their leadership and leading this offense up and down the field?
I mean, exactly that. I mean, they're leaders on the field. You know, all of them do a good job of coming out, taking command of the offense. I think that's the thing that you look for in a QB, you know, a guy that comes in there and takes command of the offense and instills confidence in every single player, you know what I mean? So that he's going to go out there and execute no matter what's going on or what, you know, around us and stuff like that. And so I think the QB room is doing a really good job of coming out there and doing that. So
I know that you were not a part of it last year, but the running game and the offensive line took some heat last year, and all the players have talked about how it feels different this year, and they are playing with the chip on their shoulder. Do you see that as well?
Most definitely. I think have coming off of the year that we had last year, you know, that's a huge thing, you know, from not just the offensive line but the running backs and tight ends. We're taking pride in that big time this year, and I think every day That's like one of the biggest goals. We talk about it before we come out here. It's just we're just trying to run the ball into people's faces this year and, you know, make a statement every time we do. And so,
how good is the offensive line looking? How good can this offensive line be?
Oh, yeah, really good. I mean, we got guys all over, you know what I mean? We got some dogs on the O-line, you know, and so a lot of experience as well. And like I said, being able to have those guys had a year already in the, you know what I mean? There's no really new guys really coming in. You know what I mean? These guys know the playbook in and out. And I think that's what's going to make a biggest difference. These guys are going to be flying around, moving bodies, and it's going to make our job easier as running backs. All we got to do is just make the right cut. So
obviously you're going to carry the ball. So, I mean, the easy answer is that, but where do you hope to make the biggest influence? Like where do you hope to bring to this offense that you really think that this can be my specialty?
I think that the biggest thing for me is just I feel very comfortable. Like personally, yeah, I feel very comfortable, you know, obviously, you know, running outside of the tackle, mm-hmm. catching and yeah. doing screens and stuff like that. The biggest thing I've been trying to focus on this year is just being able to be very comfortable within the tackles. And I feel like that's something that I've took a huge leap from prior years, you know what I mean? And every practice, I feel like I've been slowly progressing towards that. And so, I mean, personally, I think my role is just to, you know, I'm obviously one of the older guys on the team and one of the veterans, is I just try to help the younger guys, you know, continue to bring energy and things like that to every day in practice and stuff like that. And just overall, just be a leader. So,
shameless plug, Hinkley and I sat down for about an hour earlier in the summer for an episode of the Deep Blue Podcast, which will be coming out. So check where you get your podcast. We were talking about your family. So how's the family doing right now?
The family's doing great, man. Everybody's doing good. My wife is, we're about 5 weeks away from, yeah. you know, the baby coming on. So there's a lot of things going on. I go home, I feel like there's something new that's always in the house for the baby, and it's getting more and more real, you know what I mean? And so we're super excited. It's such a great time right now in our life, and we're enjoying it.
What is more nerve-wracking for you when you think about it? Is it maybe picking up a blitz, or is it when the baby cries and you have no idea what you're supposed to do?
I'll be honest with you. I think I'm more nervous of fatherhood than it is to run the ball. Running the ball is something I enjoy and I love. And so being a father is something I'm going to have to learn. You know what I mean? So, but I've had some really good examples in front of me. And so just going to see what happens. And, you know, I got a great companion that's going to help me along the way. So
you said about 5 weeks and then it'll be real, right?
Then it'll be very real. Exactly.
Hinkley, it's always great to talk with you. You're such a great personality. Thanks for taking a few minutes and good luck.
No, I appreciate you guys, man. Thank you.
So, Dave, we've been told we've reached our max of two shameless plugs. You for the D News, me for the Deep Blue Podcast.
I'm going to hold back the rest. We'll save some for tomorrow.
Look, we know what he's capable of, and now that he's feeling healthy, and what the thing that really I took from that when he was talking about, certainly, you know, rushing the football is going to be important, but he's talking about how he's been working on catching the ball out of the backfield. And I just think that's something that we used to see a lot of, and I would love to see more of that, you know, the guys, the running backs, can help out with the passing game as well.
You get the feeling he's going to shoot right out of a cannon on the 31st and get 100 yards and help the offensive line with their mojo. I love the analogy. It's easier running the football for running back than being a dad in the middle of the night. No one's running the football at 3 a.m. But sometimes you're running to the refrigerator for a bottle or whatever, and he's going to be a great father, and his whole life's led him right up to this point. And, you know, she's due the day of the Wyoming game, so that'll be an interesting week for the Rapatis, but we're excited for him. Good stuff.
Absolutely. Thanks, man.
All right. Speaking of excited about things to come, Thursday night, it's the Big Ten against the Big 12 at South Field. Number 3, BYU. Number 19, Wisconsin. The season opener. Place will be rocking. You can watch the top 20 clash starting at 9 o'clock Eastern time Thursday night on ESPN+.
Are we used to BYU basketball players being mentioned in NBA drafts? Well, we'll give you the latest update on where BYU's freshman phenom lands in a mock draft. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Content throughout the day, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back inside Studio B alongside Dave McCann. I'm Jason Shepherd, and it's time for our trivia question, Dave. We're continuing to celebrate the 100 seasons of BYU football, and we're doing it by embarrassing us with trivia.
I'm cleansing the palate right now.
All right, let's bring in our producer, Colton Potter, with today's trivia question. Colton, what do you have for us?
All right, as you can see, today's question, Max Hall, Mark Wilson, and Jim McMahon are tied in the BYU record book for single game touchdown passes, each with 7. Mark and Jim both set the record against the same team. Which team was it? And a hint, they were in the WAC together and the Mountain West together.
Okay.
I wanna say San Diego State, but I'm gonna say Colorado State.
I was gonna say Air Force.
Okay.
So you're gonna go, so final answer for you?
Final, I'm gonna go with Colorado State.
Colorado State, I will say Air Force. And to give us the answer, or at least let us know how we did on our answers, big friend of the show, in fact, okay, an honorary member of the BYU Sports Nation crew, Max Brown, all is right, hanging out with us back in the control room today. And so he's gonna join us to actually tell us if we got the answer correct. Max, how did we do?
You guys are correct. Colorado State.
Oh, so you're correct.
Thanks, Max. Well, Mark Wilson's debut was against Colorado State, and he lit them up.
Yeah.
And then I just figured that...
Does it count that
McMahon
I picked the same state, at least? They're both in Colorado. Do I get, like, half a point for that?
Sure. Half a point. Nice job.
Thank you. He's patronizing me. All right, let's get to today's headlines.
We scored a lot of points on Colorado State. Those were great times. Week 3 of BYU football is underway. Practiced at the indoor practice facility yesterday due to the weather and a lot of thunderstorms in the area. Afterwards, head coach Kalani Sitake spoke with the media, gave an update on the scrimmage that they had on Saturday, which was closed off to everybody, and where the team's at as they begin the third week of camp.
I'm happy with where the team is at right now. We had really good scrimmage last on Saturday. 102 live plays that were graded, and every one of those reps were live. Got some good work in special teams as well. So with today's practice, I'm feeling really good about where we're at.
Besides the quarterback battle, a lot of attention and focus has been put on the offensive line. Offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick spoke to the media about what he's seen from the O-line so far in camp.
Improved. They're getting better. Now we still need to go do it in a real game. But I believe in those guys, and I believe in what we're doing. And they're really well coached.
Linebacker Jack Kelly, a lot of expectations on him, the transfer from Weber State. He's a phenomenal athlete. Here's what he said about the defensive identity that we can expect to see in the second year of Jay Hill's defense.
Attacking everything. Like, the coaches want us to be smart, obviously, do our assignment, but just attack. They don't want to play passive. They want us to be able to make plays, to go out there and get stops when we need them. And I feel like I'm fitting really well into that.
How would you like that guy attacking you?
This guy's going to be a beast this year.
Today, he was named to the Butkus Award watch list this morning, which is the honor given to the nation's best linebacker. Keep your eye on Jack Kelly.
ESPN's Bill Connolly released his final preseason SP Plus and returning production rankings earlier this morning. His numbers had BYU ranked as the 69th best team in college football and 14th among the Big 12 teams, while returning the 59th most production in the country. We'll see what all that means when the season plays out.
Former BYU defensive back Caleb Hayes is now on the Broncos. He was on the Giants, got released. Broncos scooped him right up, and now he's with former Cougars Zach Wilson. They play Sunday night.
And how about this? Bleacher Report's Jonathan Wasserman has BYU's Yegor Demon going 15th overall, so one spot out of the lottery, to the Oklahoma City Thunder in his latest 2025 NBA mock draft. How about that?
That's awesome. It's awesome that the BYU's got these kind of guys.
I love it.
We're going to talk about that more in a minute.
Yeah, those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it.
In that media availability yesterday, Coach Sitake dropped a great one-liner about gambling.
We're not encouraged to gamble, but I can do it on the field, so here we go.
What kind of gamble would you like to see on the BYU football field this season?
Okay. This will never happen. I would love every play.
Something that would happen.
I would love for every play to be a flea flicker on offense.
A flea flicker?
You cannot tell me that a flea flicker is not the most exciting play.
It's awesome. Awesome when it works.
Can you imagine if a team went out and the whole offense was just flea flickers?
One to the left.
Now that's a gamble, Dave.
That would be.
That's the one I want to see.
That would be gamble. I'd love just to see them throwing deep. I thought we missed out on the deep ball last year, and then when Slovis got hurt in the Texas game, that was that. We've watched Jake throw it deep in practice. We've watched Gary throw it deep in practice. You got all those receivers. They're fast. Back up and chuck it. Let's go.
Say chuck it.
Chuck it.
But just with a fake handoff first. All right, we just mentioned this in the headlines. Bleacher Report's Jonathan Wasserman has BYU's Yegor Demon going 15th overall in next year's NBA mock draft. That's one spot out of the lottery to OKC. Are you still getting used to BYU players being in these conversations?
It is a burst of newness.
Yeah.
And yes, and these are the first, not the last. These are the kind of talented athletes that Kevin Young and his staff are going after. Cannon Catchings is projected to be a first rounder. That's two first rounders in the same draft from BYU. They're both freshmen, which means they could both come back for a second year if they're not superheroes by next March. It's exciting. That's why Cougar Nation's excited. These are good, high-character kids with super talent to play basketball. From the outside perspective, they come in with all these stars and stuff. We got to do it on the floor. But the fact that the NBA has got, hey, what's going on? What'd BYU do tonight?
Yes, sir.
Let's see what those three guys are. And then the guys that they're very much in the mix for are next level. This is just the beginning.
Well, and in comparison to other mock drafts, this is actually relatively low than where I've seen him in others. Seen him mostly top 10. I think I've seen him as high as 7 or 8, but a lot right around that 9-10 spot.
Just imagine if he's that high, 7 or 8, what kind of season?
What kind of season he's going to be coming off of at BYU.
Yeah.
There we go. I think we'll all take it. After the break, my one-on-one with BYU safety Micah Harper on the strength of the secondary, how he's feeling 2 weeks into camp, and who's the best golfer on the team. We'll talk about that with Micah Harper when we return. This is BYU Sports Nation.
We're using him in different roles to try to make sure our secondary's solidified in what we're doing, but that's the blessing of having Micah.
You know, I'm a downhill player, but I also can cover as well, so I think we're going to get a lot more turnovers this year. We're going to get off the field on third downs and keep the points off the board.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live from Studio B alongside Dave McCann. I'm Jason Shepard, and I guess one of the themes from our interviews today with football players is guys who are coming off of injuries but are back and healthy, and that's certainly good news for Micah Harper and certainly good news for the BYU defense. I was able to catch up with Micah after practice and go one-on-one.
Have we reached the point where camp is getting a little monotonous here? How ready are you to get out on the field and actually play a game right now?
Me personally, I'm ecstatic. You know, I'm itching at it. You know, it's been a while since I played in a real game, but you know, I'm ready. You know, the Southern Illinois couldn't come quicker.
Because of what you were talking about and having to deal with the injury and coming back, how much more have you been able to enjoy this a little bit more because it's been so long since you've been able to get out there and do stuff like this?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm taking, you know, everything to heart right now. You know, every rep counts for me. Even the off season, you know, every lift, every run, you know, just the fact that, you know, when you have an injury like that, you can't even walk. You know, you have to relearn how to do everything. So, you know, I'm taking everything, you know, not taking anything lightly and just going hard.
You know, everybody sees, you know, they see some of the highlights and they see you guys practicing there and they know that you have off-season workouts, but you guys do so much on your own. What type of workout regimen do you have on your own in the off-season?
So in the off-season, my workouts has been yogas in the morning. So after workouts, I go straight to yoga at the Orem Rec with my uncle. And then afterwards, in the afternoon, I'd go and do a lift at his house. He's also like a little trainer out here in Utah. So I'll go and do a couple extra, like, you know, smaller lifts, you know, just with dumbbells and stuff like that. And then get my recovery in on the recovery boots. And then, you know, back at it in the next morning with Coach Phillips and his staff.
Have you always been a yoga guy? Because it's funny, for somebody who has never done yoga in his life, I'm fascinated by yoga and I want to try it. But you hear more and more athletes that are going that route for the flexibility aspect. Is that something you've always done?
I haven't done it always, but you know, I'm a big like stretcher, you know, just trying to be mobile. I feel like, you know, I've pretty good flexibility for, you know, an athlete, I'd say, but you know, I just know that from research saying that like the more flexible you are, you know, the less, you know, decrease in injury. So, you know, anything I can do to keep myself on the field.
All right, so let's talk about how camp has gone. We'll ask in terms of you personally, but also for the team and the defensive side, how has camp gone for you and the group so far?
So camp's going really good right now. You know, I'm just out here, you know, just getting my feet wet again, you know, playing full speed, trying to get back to better than what I was on the field last time I played. Defensively, you know, we're looking really good right now. We're, you know, second year in Coach Hill's defense, and, you know, a lot of people played last year. So, you know, that's great for Cougar Nation, our defense, you know, our team, just knowing the fact that, you know, we have a solid defense. Anybody can go in, anybody can make plays.
How big of a deal do you think it is what you just mentioned, the fact that it's the second year with Coach Hill and so many guys were able to play, so many guys have been able to see what this scheme looks like? How much has that helped that there is so much more familiarity with this scheme and what Coach Hill wants?
Oh, it helps a ton. You know, just the fact that, you know, everybody really knows how he's calling the defense and why he's calling the defense, you know. It also builds trust in what, you know, trust in what he calls, and he's going to put us in the right position to make a play.
Talk to me about the secondary specifically. How are things looking back there?
No, we're looking amazing right now. You know, you got J-Rob on the outside. You know, he's one of the best DBs in the country. You got Maury out there. You got Mark Collins, Evan Johnson out there balling at the corners. You know, at safety, you got Crew Wakely, Talon, Tommy Prassis, and you got Tanner Wall out there. You know, we all out here making plays, and, you know, we're ready to play this year.
Okay, so you get to go against this offense in practice every day. Talk to me about the offense. What has impressed you the most about what the offensive side of the ball has done so far this year?
It's deep, you know, in the sense that it's the same offense that, you know, BYU's been running for the last couple of years. But, you know, our receiver room is stacked. They got a lot of depth in there. Our tight end room is probably, honestly, the best tight end room that we've had since I've been here. I mean, you got just the addition of Kibo going to tight end. You know, we used to send dudes Kibo out on fade routes, you know what I mean, deep balls, deep posts and stuff like that. You got Reiner Swanson, you got Ethan Erickson over there, and then, you know, the running backs, you know, you just got, they all bring a different punch. You got Miles Davis, he got that speed. Hinkley and LJ, you know, they're running hard. And, you know, just the quarterbacks, you know, you got, they're both different, but they both, we're going to need both of them to win this year.
So, but the defensive side, you guys are handling your business though, right?
Hey, you know, we'll see. We just go out there and ball, and that's for you guys to decide.
Okay, so you mentioned before we started just how excited you were for the Southern Illinois game to be here. What excites you most about this upcoming season and the opportunities that are ahead for you guys?
For me personally, it's just the fact that, you know, it's my first year playing in the Big 12.
Yeah.
You know, so last year I missed out playing on it. And, you know, I want to play against, you know, I'm looking forward to, obviously, the Holy War. I missed out on that the first year. And I feel like, honestly, God has just given me all the games that I missed in the past. You know, I didn't get to play against Arizona, ASU, Utah all that year. And I'm getting it back this year. You know, I mean, I get to play at ASU, so I'm going back to my hometown. You know, I'm playing home against Arizona and at Utah. You know, this is one of the best rivalries in college football, and, you know, I'm just excited to play in the Big 12 this year.
You know, the Big 12 was obviously – the excitement level going into it last year was immense, and everybody was so excited. And, you know, those that were able to play got a taste of what it's like. And everybody, almost to a man, says – You got to bring it. There are no off days.
Right.
How exciting is that for you as a player that you're going to be challenged each and every week, regardless of the opponent?
Oh, you know, it's music to my ears, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, I think everybody playing college football wants to play in the NFL. So,
yeah.
You know, if you want to play in the NFL, you got to play against the best of the best. You know, you can't be scared. You can't be shying away from it. So, you know, and I also got to see, like, how good you really are. You know, I like to challenge myself. And, you know, if you can go out there and play against the best and, you know, handle your own, then, you know, you can, you know, everybody else can say what you say.
Well, it can't be all football all the time. You got to do something to sort of get away with it. When you get away from football, what is it you're doing?
Honestly, lately I've been golfing. I've been going golfing with Cody Epps and some of the safeties. We just go out and, you know, play a couple rounds. So I think.
Are you a good golfer?
I wouldn't say I'm good. I'd say that, like, when I'm on, like, I've been making some crazy shots, but, I mean, my average is, like, not good.
Who's the best golfer on the team? Do you know? Have you played enough that you would know that?
Yeah, so it's Parker Kingston. He'd be playing in the men's league and stuff like that. So, you know, he's by far it's Parker, and then just a drop off for, like, number two, three, four, anybody after that.
So besides golf, anything else that you kind of do just to unwind?
Not really. I mean, not yet. Maybe watch some TVs or TV shows, Netflix. You know, I like to get in the series, you know, every now and then. My Netflix account got shut off, so, because I use my mom's at home.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they got that update. Every once in a while I can sneak in, they'll unlock it for me. But I need to get it back on Suits. I know the new season came out. I got to watch Cobra Kai, and then I got to watch that Receivers show too. So, you know, when I get back into Netflix, I'll get back into that too as well.
All right, we'll see what we can do. See if we can get you that account back up and going. Appreciate the time. It's always good to talk with you, and can't wait to see you back out on the field. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Mike, call
us. Can we get the man his account back?
I'll give you Shep's account to Netflix. Call me off the air. If you miss any of our BYU football camp coverage, you can find it waiting for you at BYUSN.com. or the BYU Sports Nation YouTube page.
This week's Top 5 Tuesday features the most underappreciated quarterbacks in BYU history. Who gets the number one spot? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Dave McCann, Jason Shepherd. It's time for our Top 5 Tuesday. And this week we're going with the most underappreciated quarterbacks in BYU football history. Dave, you lead us off with number 5.
Hey, by the way, a viewer texted me and said, hey, where'd you get that nice shirt right here for a shameless plug? I said, hey, BYU Store.
Hey.
Check it online.
It's the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
That includes you and us. Let's go with Virgil Carter, number 5. How's he underappreciated? Well, he came so early in the game, right? He was BYU's first great one, 1964, 1966. This is in the Beatles era. Threw for over 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, ran for over 1,200 and another 18 scores. Second in history in rushing yards and touchdowns by a quarterback. Who's the leader? Taysom Hill, that's right. Led BYU to the first ever conference championship in 65. This is before both of us got here. And while at BYU, set 6 national, 19 conference, and 24 school records. Went to the Bears in the 6th round of the 67 draft. Played 8 seasons in the NFL. Virgil Carter.
He is the quarterback that started it all. All right, number 4.
Love that footage, too.
Brandon Doman. Brandon Doman at number 4. Now, he played at BYU from 98 to 2001, but remember, his on-the-field accolades happened late in his career. The end of his junior year, came in, got the start against New Mexico, then won the game at Utah, and then had an unbelievable 2001 season. He passed for 4,354 yards, 35 touchdowns in his career in limited starts. His senior season, passed for over 3,500 yards, 33 touchdowns, and added 500 yards rushing and 8 TDs on the ground. Also led BYU that season to a 12-2 record and the Mountain West Championship.
Shouldn't have taken Norm Chow 3 years to realize that's your starting quarterback. That's why we're having him as underappreciated.
And he was drafted in the 5th round of the Niners, played there 3 seasons.
Fantastic. All right, let's go with John Walsh at number 3. John Walsh, yeah, that's after Ty Detmer. 1991 to 94, he passed for over 8,300 yards. That's number 6 at BYU. 66 touchdowns, that's tied for 5th. Big win at Notre Dame. In 2 years as a starter, WAC championship in 93, went 10-3, ranked 18th at the end of the 94 season. He left BYU early for the NFL draft, went to Cincinnati, opened the door for the next great quarterback on our list. But had John Walsh stayed as a senior, who knows where his career would have been. Went to the NFL early, got hurt, and was never quite the same. But underappreciated BYU, he was good.
You mentioned the guy that followed him. That who sits at number 2, and that is Steve Sarkisian. Transferred to BYU and was the starter for the 95 and the fantastic 1996 season. Sark passed for over 7,400 yards and 53 touchdowns in his 2 seasons in Provo, helping lead BYU to back-to-back WAC championships. In 96, he won the Sammy Baugh Trophy and was named a second-team All-American en route to leading BYU to the 14-1 record. He had the Cotton Bowl win, a number 5 final AP rank, which is the 2nd highest in program history. He would go on to play in the Canadian Football League. Obviously now he is the head coach of the Texas Longhorns, who are now in the SEC. I have always said, in my opinion, he is the quarterback. Despite us talking about him as much as we do, he still does not get talked about enough for how good he was, in my opinion.
6-6 the first year, and then 14-1.
He was amazing.
The second year. Let's get to number 1, our friend Gary Scheide. He'd been under the radar his whole career. Led BYU to their first bowl game 50 years ago this year, and he and the team will be honored in the season opener on August 31st. Scheide was outstanding, the first Cougar to win the Sammy Baugh Award for the best quarterback in the country. 3rd round pick by the Bengals in 75. Good friend of ours. I call baseball games with
him. He's a heck of a baseball
analyst. He spends all summer fishing in Minnesota, and then he comes back here, the great Gary Scheide. Now, Virgil Carter was early, and we mentioned that, but Scheide started the line.
Yep.
of quarterbacks that shape BYU into what they are.
We love Uncle Gary. Yeah. All right, our question of the day, who is the most underappreciated BYU football player on this year's team? This one on Instagram from Ben_Peterson4 says, low-key Waylon Lapuaho.
Okay.
Man has NFL talent. I like it.
Like that one. At BYU underscore Homer on X, Will Farron.
That's your kicker. That's your.
You've got to have a good kicker. No, but I agree with that. Will Farron. When you have a good kicker, you don't worry about the kicker.
Yeah.
When you don't, you think about it all the time.
There we go. Darren's our lead voice good. Of the day is presented by PAX. Healthcare Elevated comes from Brock_Taylor16 on Instagram. Says, Connor Pay, most experienced guy on the roster, NFL hopeful, certainly. Rise and shout out today is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. It is International Left-Handers Day, so since we were just talking about quarterbacks, how about a rise and shout out to Steve Young?
Steve.
Left-handed quarterback.
Nice job.
All right. Thanks to our guests today, Hinkley Rapati and Micah Harper.
Conversation continues on all our social media platforms.
All right. For Dave, I'm Jason. Shout out to John Tate. We will see you tomorrow at noon Eastern for more BYUSN.
Go Cougs.